21st, 2015. This is Spingola Speaks, and this is Deanna Spingola. I'm coming to you from the cold but sunny Chicago suburbs. I really appreciate you joining me today on RBN. Their website is republicbroadcasting.org. Please also visit spingola.com, where you will find access to some very relevant links for today's program. Just visit my website and click on the radio schedule button, because there are links that I really hope that you will follow up on. And there's a petition that I would love to have you sign, which I will tell you about in just a moment. Please also visit SpingolaSpeaks.wordpress.com, a site that one of our very talented listeners created. And he maintains this and puts so much work into it. He's such a dear. I'm so grateful for his efforts. During the program, email any relevant questions or comments to comment@spingola.com. Please join others in the chat room by clicking on the chat room button on my website or by visiting spingola.chatingo.com. We might take calls in the last part of this first hour, because we're going to have a guest in the second, third hour. But I thought I would talk about some things that I've been doing lately. One of the things that I did do in the last couple of days is I watched a movie entitled Bot. And there is a link on the website. It is about vaccines. It's about genetically modified food. It's a great movie. Absolutely a great, great movie. The other thing that I did is that I take the activist post. I get their emails every day. And the one for, yesterday's, the activist post for yesterday. It's entitled Forced Adult Vaccinations at Federal Levels Comment Period Now. Okay, that means that we as a population has an opportunity to express our views about what the United States Health and Human Services has in store for us, particularly those who are pregnant, those who are employed, or, well, just about any other group of people. They would like to add us to the many, many thousands, millions of people, children, that they are forcing mandatory vaccinations on. And so we have an opportunity to express our views. And so I encourage you to visit the site, spingola.com/February2015.html. And there is a link on today's date for petition. It is a petition, and this petition is against mandatory adult vaccines. What they have in store for us is just absolutely amazing, and we need to speak out about this. They already have, I think, 44,000, almost 45,000, and they need to get 55,000 petition signers before, I believe it's March 7th or March 9th, but apparently the National Vaccine Plan, the NVP, would like to have this coverage, have everybody on track to meet this goal by 2020, and the committee and numerous stakeholder groups have emphasized the need for focused attention on adult vaccines and vaccination. And they plan to give adults as many vaccines as the children receive. And they receive 69 vaccines, which is just mind-boggling. And so they have four goals. Strengthen, obviously mandate and enforce the adult immunization infrastructure. Goal number two, improve access to adult vaccines. In other words, have MDs hound adults to take vaccines like they do parents about children's vaccines. Number three, increase community demand for adult immunizations, which is an interesting remark because vaccination is not immunization. Number four, foster innovation. What does that mean? And can innovation include more toxins in vaccines than there are now? Could that mean nanoparticles or GMOs in adult vaccine development and vaccination-related technologies? Technologies like getting vaccine patches or embedded RFID chips containing vaccines. So this is something that we can't rely on other people taking care of this issue. We have to make our voice heard. And so please, please do visit that website, the petition website, sign your name, and tell them what you think. And of course, this is a great article. I have a link to this article, I believe, on my schedule page. If not, I am going to post it right now into the chat room. And here we go, into the chat room. Okay, what else did I want to say? Oh, somebody, it was kind of funny. Somebody sent me a link to a very, very short video. And Victoria Jackson is being interviewed. And so the link on my schedule page says, are Deanna and Victoria Jackson the same person as claimed by Ed Sciarrini? It's just a fun little link, so please feel free to visit that. And anyway, okay, I think that does it for that. I've been reading a book. I love reading. And one of the books that I recently picked up is called Jewish Domination of Weimar Germany. And this seemed like a very appropriate title, very appropriate subject to dwell upon in the first hour in anticipation for our friend Wayne from Canada, who will be visiting us in the second and third hour. He will be our guest. And this book is really remarkable. Of course, we've had programs like this before where we've talked about Weimar Germany and the association it has with America, because America is also going or has gone in this very same direction. And somebody emailed me a link, and I wasn't going to bring this up, but I was so shocked by this link that this friend of mine emailed me. We all probably remember, what is her name? Her name used to be Hannah Montana, and she now uses her legal name, Miley Cyrus. This friend of mine emailed me a couple of links to some videos, and I think I'm going to have to dedicate a whole program to this type of media that our kids are being exposed to. I mean, they're getting it in so many areas. Whether we're talking vaccinations, whether we're talking entertainment, whether we're talking education. I was absolutely shocked when I saw part of this video. I honestly couldn't watch the rest of it. It was pornographic, and it was on stage in front of thousands of people, probably mostly kids, and of course we've probably many of us have seen the Grammys. I'm just shocked. I was just in a state of shock when I went to this link right before the program. But anyway, we'll probably schedule a program for that. But anyway, back to the vaccines. At the top of the page where you sign the petition, it says, no human being should be forced to be vaccinated against their will and or personal/religious beliefs. I petition, meaning you, I petition against making vaccinations of any kind mandatory. This includes forcing children to be vaccinated to attend public schools, activities, and daycare centers. This also includes adults working in the public or private sector. And this petition came online on February 4th, 2015. So please, 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 by all means, do sign this petition and tell your friends, put it on Facebook, tweet it out, do whatever you can to get as many people as possible to sign the petition. I don't ask for the listeners to sign many petitions because I think a lot of them people don't really pay any attention to us anyway, but this is one that I think is just crucially important, and we really do need to make an effort. And of course, this is all part of the Obamacare, and so it has a lot of ramifications about it. I mean, that whole legislative package, the Obamacare package, it is unbelievable, some of the things that are in that and the ways that it will affect each and every person. We sometimes get the feeling that something does not relate to us when most everything that happens that comes out of Washington absolutely does relate to us, and we darn well better pay attention to what these criminals are doing. Alrighty, now I'm going to talk about Germany during the Weimar period, and I'm going to talk about Jews in general. Yes, I am I'm not anti-Semitic, I'm anti-Talmudic. So let me just really quickly check the chat room, see if there's any questions, or, okay, I don't see, okay, yes, do be sure and put the links in your, if you have a Facebook, a Twitter, if you're on Chatango, please put these links anywhere that you possibly can, because it's important. We all need to work together, and, yes. Okay. Alrighty. So back to this book that I've been reading. And I read it in a couple hours. It's very short. It's more of a pamphlet kind of a thing. But it's called Jewish Domination of Weimar Germany. And it was initially written in 1933. And then there's some appendixes that at the back of this booklet that relate to today. So I'm going to try and catch some of the really important things in Weimar Germany before 1933, and then kind of relate them to what is going on now. And what is really important there, one of the first things that they have in the book in chapter 5 is the vocational employment of the entire population, as well as of Germans, foreign, and all Jews in Prussia. And it's very important to understand that the Jews are aliens. They were aliens. They were non-citizens. They kind of invaded the country because the immigration policies were such that they could do that. Germany was the first target for those Jews that were traveling west, coming out of Eastern Europe. And it's quite amazing that they weren't, Jews are rarely tied to the agricultural field. They're not into raising stock, and they're not into forestry. And so there are very few Jews that actually worked in manual labor. They're more interested in commerce and business and public administration, in the law, in the medical profession, and of course in the media profession, including entertainment media and that sort of thing. Alrighty, I'm just going to read some things to you. More than one half, namely 58.8%, or 112,188 Jews, come under the economic division commerce and business, including the hotel and restaurant business, compared to a percentage of only 17.11%, or 3,248,145 of the entire population. In other words, percentage-wise, I mean, they seem to gravitate to certain positions, certain employment positions, certain economic positions or occupational positions. Under these circumstances, it is no wonder that the stock exchanges have got completely into the hands of the Jews. For example, the board of directors of the Berlin Stock Exchange consisted exclusively of Jews. Moreover, out of the 147 members of the directorate or committees in the stock exchange, 116, or nearly 80%, were Jews. Jewry has also developed its predominance to an especial degree owing to the mushroom-like growth of department stores and one-price businesses. Now, keep in mind, this was written in 1933. And we do, if you look around at the department stores here in America, some of the early department stores that were first, Sears, Roebuck, I can't name them, but there's Macy's, a lot of department stores that were owned, Jewish-owned. Okay, in order to give an idea of the extent of Jewish influence in commerce, we may mention the total of the turnover of the department stores in the year 1931, which alone amounted to 2.5 Millard marks. Jewry is also well represented in the economic division of industry and handicraft, including mining and the building trade, in which the Jews numbered 49,318, or 25.85%, while the percentage of the total population was 40.95, or 7,771,799. So that's a lot of people, a lot of Jewish people, for, well, the fact that there were, the percentage of Jews in Germany was so low, which I will cover momentarily. It is characteristic, in contrast to this, that in agriculture, there are only 1.74% of Jews, as against 29.5% of the entire German population. Under the heads commerce and business, which they predominate, and industry and handicraft, the startling fact is also concerned that in Prussia, no fewer than 31,500 Jewish foreigners, mind you, are engaged in industry and commerce. That is to say, workers who do not consider it necessary to acquire the nationality of the country in which they work. Now, we have people in this country, Jewish people in this country, who also have, they're double citizens. They are citizens of Israel and they are citizens of the United States. In fact, the mayor of Chicago and quite possibly his brothers, Ari, and Ezekiel. And Ezekiel, I believe, had a lot to do with the Obamacare and particularly with organ transplant. Okay, I think we are going to a quick break. We will be back.
Dr. Joel Wallach, author of the famous health lecture, Dead Doctors Don't Lie, presents his newest book, Epigenetics. Epigenetics is required reading for the very survival of Americans, and yes, all of humanity. Modern man has bet on the wrong horse to save them from disease and pestilence. The medical system has failed us fearfully. Join the health revolution. Buy Epigenetics today and receive a free membership to purchase all the products that Dr. Joel Wallach formulated at wholesale prices and receive a free CD of Dead Doctors Don't Lie. All this for only $25 plus shipping and handling. Call 888-311-4311. That's 888-311-4311. Again, that's just $25 plus shipping and handling. And you'll receive the new book, Epigenetics, a free membership and a free CD of Dead Doctors Don't Lie. Call 888-311-4311. That's 888-311-4311.
nutritious food is real body armor. It builds muscle, burns fat, improves digestion, and feeds the entire body the nutrients it needs. Did you know the U.S. government banned the hemp plant from growing in the United States and classified it as a Schedule 1 drug to hide it behind the marijuana plant? People have been confused about this plant for over 80 years, and many still don't know what hemp is. So now you know hemp is not marijuana, and marijuana is not hemp. They are different varieties of the same species. HempUSA.org wants the world to know these basic facts and to help people understand that hemp protein powder is the best-kept health secret you need to know about. Remember, hemp protein powder contains 53% protein, is gluten-free, anti-inflammatory, non-GMO, and is loaded with nutrients. Call 888-910-4367, 888-910-4367, and see what our powder, seeds, and oil can do for you. Only at HempUSA.org.
Americans are reeling from Obamacare, higher prices, and an epidemic of policy lapses. AsiaRunLikeHellGuide.com has you covered. World-class medical and surgery at one of Asia's most modern hospitals. 300 doctors, surgeons, and dentists serving 300,000 patients a year. Fractions of U.S. prices. Friends or family forced to go out of pocket? Avoid bankruptcy. Tell them to run. Run like hell. Hit us up now. We'll show you how. AsiaRunLikeHellGuide.com.
Earthquakes, hurricanes, nuclear accidents, terror attacks, and all-out social collapse. With the world today more volatile than ever, the future has never looked more uncertain. Survivalist Magazine is the one resource you can't afford to be without. Claim your free trial subscription now at www.survivalist.com and your first issue ships immediately. Get all the details and more at www.survivalist.com or order by phone. Call 1-866-437-6570. Your survival may depend on it.
I'm sharing some selections from a book called Jewish Domination of Weimar Germany. It is, of course, available at Amazon. And if we examine the head, health, and hygienic vocations, including welfare work, the percentage of Jews is higher than their percentage of the population. Namely, 4.35%, including 2% of foreign Jews, as compared to a proportion of 1.88% in the case of the entire population. The proportion of Jews whose principal employment falls under this head is therefore 2.5 times as great as that in the case of the entire population. The Jews, therefore, obviously prefer the professions of middlemen and distributors in the national business, while the productive and directly creative vocations are neglected by them. They really prefer that they play the middleman, collect the commissions, the money, and all of that, and leave the manual labor to others. And Jews tend to gather in bigger areas. They don't live out in the country, most of them, in order to exercise the trade and commerce. They usually gather into the bigger cities. And of course, this includes Berlin. We're going to talk about Berlin and the stuff that, and the things that they participated in there. The real structural function of Jewry in German business life is even more clearly exposed when we turn from quantitative to qualitative statistics and extend our analysis to the social position of those exercising vocations. It is this statistical statement that first gives us a real idea of the dominant position occupied by Jewry in the national and economic life of Germany. Now remember, this book was written in 1933. Here we find the following striking facts. The total number of persons exercising an independent vocation in Prussia in 1925 was about 3,070,000, including 92,164 Jews. This represents a percentage of 48.3 Jews as against 16.2 of all those exercising vocations. And by vocations, we mean doctor, lawyer, dentist, teacher, professor, theater owner. Hence, in Prussia, three times as many of the Jews exercise independent vocations as among the entire population. These proportions are largely influenced by the number of Jews engaged in commerce and business and in the hotel and restaurant trade, in whose case the percentage is 31.5 as against 3.8, or 8 Jews to 1 German. To this also corresponds the abnormal number of foreigners in the directorates of the great German undertakings, which, owing to the enormous influence of Jewish bank capital, have become regular Jewish domains since the war. And of course, he's talking about World War I. In the year 1928, 15 Jews held 718 posts on directorates, so that each of them had 50 on an average, while these same 15 persons only held 211 such posts in 1913. Now, when we're talking about directorates, we're talking about corporate board of directors, in common everyday terms now. The holder of the largest number of such directorial appointments was naturally a Jew, namely the banker Jacob Goldschmidt, who occupied 108 posts. In other words, he had a lot of influence in a lot of areas. Similar conditions are found in the domain of health, in which the number of Jews exercising such vocations is almost sixfold, namely 2.8% as against 0.5%. Now, I talked about health in the first few minutes of the program, and I want you to think about health as we're talking about conditions here in this country. And in my most recent book, Screening Sandy Hook, I talk a lot about health, and one of the first chapters is called I'd have to look it up, inoculations of sicknesses or something like that. Anyway, there's a lot of chapters, so I can't remember every single one. And why try to remember something if you can look it up? But anyway, they were very dominant in the health industry, and that's pretty significant. And I also mentioned that Emmanuel was quite influential in creating and being the architect of Obamacare. Okay, I think we're going to a break. All righty, we'll be back in 3 minutes.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Recent events have shown just how vulnerable we are to deadly viruses, bacteria, and fungus. These diseases are all caused by infectious pathogens that often get the upper hand on conventional medical treatments. Now more than ever, there's a great need for a product that will help protect us. Look no further. Supernatural Silver can provide immune system support to help fight off these deadly pathogens. Supernatural Silver is a new and vastly improved type of silver solution that's safe and extremely effective against 143 types of bacteria, both forms of viruses, mold, and yeast. Supernatural Silver can be taken orally or used topically and can be used in a nebulizer or vaporizer for inhalation. With over 180 scientific studies by independent universities, hospitals, and research institutions, Supernatural Silver is a powerful weapon against disease. Go to supernaturalsilver.com and use the promo code SILVER20. 2014 for 20% off your entire order. Give you and your loved ones a fighting chance with Supernatural Silver.
Americans are reeling from Obamacare, higher prices, and an epidemic of policy lapses. AsiaRunLikeHellGuide.com has you covered. World-class medical and surgery at one of Asia's most modern hospitals. 300 doctors, surgeons, and dentists serving 300,000 patients a year. Fractions of U.S. prices. Friends or family forced to go out of pocket? Avoid bankruptcy. Tell them to run. Run like hell. Hit us up now. We'll show you how. AsiaRunLikeHellGuide.com.
There are many water filters to choose from, but there is only one system that is consistently customer rated 5 stars as the number one system for effective filtration of fluoride, radiation, drug residues, heavy metals, a wide range of radioisotopes, and more. Introducing the PureFect Ultra, the next generation water filter that also raises alkaline pH, improves antioxidant potential, and has advanced anti-radiation technology. All while using no electricity. Sold worldwide, it provides virtually instant clean water on demand. It is not made in China, and the shipping is free to all 50 states. Buy your PureFect Ultra today by visiting PureFectFilters.com or call 888-891-4821. Again, that's 888-891-4821 or visit PureFectFilters.com.
The IRS is a private corporation, not a government agency. Income tax is collected by voluntary compliance. To learn to unvolunteer or discontinue volunteering into the IRS, visit escapeharassment.com and immediately implement Strategy 1. The process must be repeated each and every time. Paper, letter, envelope, presentment, etc. Always and forever. Failure equates to acceptance, subsequent resultant contract, and you pay or go to jail by your own consent and agreement contract. Avoid recontracting. Visit escapeharassment.com and implement Strategy 1 immediately. Bar lawyers and accountants won't help you. Why wait? Get Strategy 1 and immediately implement it to divorce the IRS today and forever. That's escapeharassment.com, Strategy 1, to be free from the IRS. EscapeHarassment.com.
HempUSA.org has a revolutionary wonder food for detoxing the body and rebuilding the immune system.
Microplant powder can help unclog arteries and soften heart valves while removing heavy metals, virus, fungus, bacteria, and parasites. Plus, it cleans and purifies the blood, lungs, stomach, and colon. Keep your body clean with microplant powder. Order today at 888-910-4367 or visit HempUSA.org.
I am sharing some very interesting comments from a wonderful, wonderful book that I just purchased. It's kind of a booklet. It's a reprint of a 1933 German book, and it's entitled Jewish Domination of Weimar Germany. And just as a reference, the first chapter in my book, Screening Sandy Hook, Causes and Consequences, is entitled Political Protocols, as a subtle reminder of the protocols of the lurid elders of Zion and the inoculation of disease. Political protocols and the inoculation of disease. And of course, they always use the politicians and the force of law to make us take these mandatory vaccines and all the other nonsense they are forcing on us, GMO foods and whatnot. Alrighty, I was talking about the medical influence that the Jews had in Germany. And conditions are exactly the same in the economic branches, getting back to the book, known as the cultural complex, by which is meant the theater, cinema, radio, education, training and instruction, etc. Here, the general proportion is 0.4% as against 2.6% of Jews. So that in this case, there are 6 times as many Jews as others. even in the economic divisions, public administration, administration of the law, in official positions, the percentage of Jews exercising these vocations in prominent positions is 2.0 as against 1.3, or nearly twice as many as that for the German population. This preponderance of Jews is slightly less in the category employees. The total number of employees recorded in the state of Prussia was about 3,240,000, including 64,469 Jews. This includes 17.1 or 33.8% of the persons in question. The percentage of Jews in this case is therefore proportionately twice as large as that in the case of the entire population. And yet, they were only 1% of the population. It's just amazing. There's a lot of charts in this book, and the charts are, well, they are very, very revealing. And one chart in the book, it is entitled The Attitude of the Jew Towards Work. 47.5% of the Jews that were in Germany were independent, they had independent vocations. And a very, very small minority of those people, the Jews in Germany, were workmen. Very, very, very small minority. Alrighty. Moving on. In leading positions, there are three times as many Jews as native Germans. Well, in the category of actual workers, the Jews only represent 1/6 of the total number. But even cultural life is marked by the same characteristics. Indeed, in this case, conditions are even more unhealthy and alarming. For in this sphere, the vocational census of 1925 provides us with quite astonishing figures. According to those figures, 17.9% of all independent doctors, 14.8% of all independent dentists, 6.9% of all independent chemists, 48% of all independent artists, 27% of all independent lawyers, 4.6% of all editors, 11% of all theatrical stage managers, and 7.5% of all actors are Jews, while the Jews, as I mentioned, are only 1% of the total population. Now, as far as Jews in the German capital, Berlin, the acme of the whole of this development of the population is, however, first reached in the German capital, Berlin. It is here, in the metropolis of the Reich, the focus of the business and cultural life of the whole country, that the Jews have established their headquarters. I think you can say, well, okay, let's think New York here. We have already seen that no less than 42.17% of the entire Jewish population of Prussia had settled in Berlin, owing to the attraction of the great city, which is inherent in Jewry. But this concentration of Jewry in the capital, which is in itself already unhealthy, is eclipsed by far by the statistics resulting from an examination of the internal structure of Jewry in the capital. From these statistics, it appears that in the year 1925, according to the vocational census, the percentage of Jews in the most important vocations in Berlin was as follows. Jewish doctors, 47.9%. Jewish dentist, 37.5%. Jewish chemist, 32.2%. 5.7%. Jewish lawyers, 50.2%. Jewish artists, 7.5%. Jewish editors, 8.5%. Jewish theatrical producers and managers, 14.2%. And Jewish actors, 12.3%. These figures alone speak volumes, but these impressive statistics themselves, when further examined, cast a glaring light on the material and intellectual predominance of Jewry in the German capital. They show that the position of the Jews in the spheres of health and law is absolutely dominant, for they dominate each sphere purely quantitatively to 50%. Now that is amazing. That is just absolutely amazing. How many Jewish lawyers were there in Berlin? Of 3,400 lawyers, there were 1,850, or 54% of them were of Jewish origin. That's pretty large. Special examination reveals the fact that communal and other public health administration is particularly preferred by them. Furthermore, they have a particular preference for the post in which they occupy an official position and which provide them with the possibility of engaging in private practice in addition to their official salary and thus securing or retaining a source of private income. Thus, out of all the school and welfare doctors in Berlin, 68% were Jews, while 68% of the official welfare doctors were also Jews. They had laid hands quite systematically on the great hospitals. Thus, of the medical directors of the Berlin hospitals, 45% are of Jewish origin, and 44% of the principal doctors. In this case also, we find a systematic seizure of the principal posts. Moreover, in the same, I'll skip that because I want to get to some of the end things because it's really, really, really pretty important. In chapter 6, talks about the influence of Jewry on mind and morals, which takes us back to what I mentioned about Miley Cyrus, who used to be Hannah Montana. I still can't get over that. I'm in a state of shock. I shouldn't be shocked. I'm old enough. I shouldn't be shocked about such things, but I'm shocked. Okay. Just let me give you some real quick figures here. Berlin's intellectual vocations are dominated by the Jews. Of the medical men, 48% Jewish. School doctors, 43%. Welfare doctors, 68%. Hospital directors, 45%. Dentist, 38%. Chemist, 32%. Lawyers, 54%. Theater managers, 80%. Hey, we're talking Hollywood here. Head doctors, 44%. Teachers in the medical faculties, 50%. Teachers in the philosophical facilities, 25%. Those are some amazing, amazing figures. How many of the directors of the Berlin hospitals were Jews? Of 44 medical directors, 20, or 45%, were of Jewish origin. Talking about the morals and whatnot, and Jewish influence. A classic example of this is provided by the recent campaign against the prohibition of abortion, as contained in paragraph 218 of the German Penal Code, which in a precautionary manner very carefully restricts the abortion of unborn children and threatens delinquents with severe punishment. The men at the head of this permanent offensive were Jews for the most part. they said that it was that people had a right to one's own body, and it was mostly they who committed the breaches of this paragraph in order to provoke legal proceedings in this way. And we can all we can relate that back to the 1973 Supreme Court decision, which was initially started by Gloria Steinem and her little group of Jewish cronies, who started to demand abortion, and look what led. And she started in about when 1963, and she was actually working for the CIA at the time that she had all of this opportunity to have a lot of publicity. Fancy that. And look what happened. 55 million aborted babies later. So it happened in Germany too. So, alrighty. Let's see. Moving forward, we're talking, Dr. Magnus Hirschfeld, the man who commercialized sexual science. And he wrote a lot of, well, it refers to it as filthy work. Hopefully these are the books that, the new government, the new German government got rid of. Some of the things that he wrote were, the homosexual question as judged by our contemporaries, what ought the public to know about the third sex, sexual transitions, the where others erotic impulse to dress, the homosexuality of man and woman, sexology, a history of the morals of the world war. So we also have our comparable people here in this country who are associated with the University of Indiana. All righty, moving ahead here. Let's go down to, I'm going to go to the back of this book because there's some very interesting things back here. And let's see, Appendix 1, Greater Germany. This is important. Greater Germany is the first country in the world to find a legal way to separate from the alien Jewish people. In contrast to the views of the last century and of the so-called Democrats of today, National Socialism sees the Jewish question not as a religious problem, but rather as a racial question. After Jews had been removed from the civil service, after the press and cultural life had been cleansed, the most important step was the Nuremberg racial laws. The world paid attention. It saw that it was no longer a matter of theory, that it was not merely the anti-Semitism of an earlier age, but rather that it was the final reckoning with Jewry that had begun. World Jewry also realized the inescapable fate that faced the Jewish people. For the first time in their history, the Jews faced a moment that transcended all borders and oceans, one that could no longer be stopped, regardless of whether other peoples resisted or hesitated. The worldwide boycott movement against National Socialist Germany, the war agitation of the world Jewish press, and the gunshots by Jewish murderers that killed Wilhelm Gustloff and Ernst von Rath proved that. All righty. Let's move down to the Jewish domination of Hollywood, which I think everybody kind of knows. There was a, and this is dated 2008, a Jewish journalist Joel Stein wrote an article, and he said, "Jews totally run Hollywood." And then he goes through all of these people who run Hollywood, and all of the people, how deeply Jewish is Hollywood. When the studio chiefs took out a full-page ad in the Los Angeles Times a few weeks ago to demand that the Screen Actors Guild settle its contract, the open letter was signed by News Corp President Peter Chernin, who is Jewish, Paramount Pictures Chairman Brad Gray, who is Jewish, Walt Disney Company Chief Executive Robert Iger, who is Jewish, Sony Pictures Chairman Michael Linton, surprise, Dutch Jew, Warner Brothers Chairman Barry Meyer, who is Jewish, CBS Corporation Chief Executive Leslie Moonves, I know I'm butchering that name, so, and he's Jewish. His great uncle was the first Prime Minister of Israel, MGM Chairman Harry Sloan, Jewish, NBC Universal Chief Executive Jeff Zucker, who is, of course, Jewish. If either of the Weinstein brothers had signed, this group would not have only, they would have the power to shut down all of film production. So the Jews run Hollywood, and if anybody thinks that they don't, well, you're misinformed. All right, we are going to a quick 3-minute break. We'll be right back.
Earthquakes, hurricanes, nuclear accidents, terror attacks, and all-out social collapse. With the world today more volatile than ever, the future has never looked more uncertain. Survivalist Magazine is the one resource you can't afford to be without. Claim your free trial subscription now at www.survivalist.com and your first issue ships immediately. Get all the details and more at www.survivalist.com or order by phone. Call 1-866-437-6570. Your survival may depend on it.
Recent events have shown just how vulnerable we are to deadly viruses, bacteria, and fungus. These diseases are all caused by infectious pathogens that often get the upper hand on conventional medical treatments. Now more than ever, there's a great need for a product that will help protect us. Look no further. Supernatural Silver can provide immune system support to help fight off these deadly pathogens. Supernatural Silver is a new and vastly improved type of silver solution that's safe and extremely effective against 143 types of bacteria, both forms of viruses, mold, and yeast. Supernatural Silver can be taken orally or used topically and can be used in a nebulizer or vaporizer for inhalation. With over 180 scientific studies by independent universities, hospitals, and research institutions, Supernatural Silver is a powerful weapon against disease. Go to supernaturalsilver.com and use the promo code SILVER2014 for 20% off your entire order. Give you and your loved ones a fighting chance with Supernatural Silver.
With autumn in the air, it's time to think about getting ready for winter. And it's time to save at HerbalHealer.com. You'll find amazing seasonal savings to prepare you for the fight against cold and flu season. Like Oregacillin to promote lung health. 30 capsules, regularly $34.95, now only $25. HHA Olive Leaf, the natural antiviral, normally $16.95, now 60 capsules are just $12. HHA Elderberry Power, a great flu and virus fighter, regularly $16.95, 60 capsules, now $10. Save on all our homeopathic detoxes. Choose from lungs, kidney, liver, brain, libido, or whole body, normally $26.95, now just $20. Visit HerbalHealer.com and click on the Fall Winter Specials button to save on all our natural cold and flu fighting products. Also explore our Herbal Healer Academy correspondence courses that teach you how to handle your health naturally. HerbalHealer.com, healing the world with nature, one person at a time, since 1988.
Want something different from your detox? Then you want Hemp USA's Micro Plant Powder for a full body detox. With 7 formulations and 8 different sizes, you will feel and see the difference. And the best part? It's only about $10 a month. Our customers love it, and we ship worldwide. Get the detox difference. Get Micro Plant Powder from HempUSA.org. Call 888-910-4367 or visit HempUSA.org. See what our powder, seeds, and oil can do for you at HempUSA.org.
Alrighty, this is Deanna, and I am back, and I am looking at Appendix 6 in this book, and it's called Jewish Financial Scandals in America, and it's an open secret that Jews commit the vast majority of financial swindles, which have taken place in present-day America, ranging from securities fraud to insider trading to Ponzi schemes. There are, in fact, too many to list individually. Some of the more prominent ones include Bernie Madoff for $50 billion, Sonia Cohen at $2 billion, Sam Israel, $450 million, Paul Greenwood and Steve Walsh, $550 million, Artie Nadel, $350 million. Marcus Schrenker, $12 million. Rod Cameron Stringer, $45 million. And Bruce Friedman, $216 million. Of course, we all know about Madoff and what he's done. And so I'm going to skip what he's done. And he's resting comfortably in a jail cell somewhere, or maybe in Tel Aviv, or who knows, maybe on a desert island. In 2009, Sherman Oaks-based mortgage banker Bruce Friedman had been indicted on securities fraud charges today by the Securities and Exchange Commission. The SEC alleges Friedman, along with his two companies, Diversified Lending Group and Applied Equities, Inc., perpetrated a $216 million real estate investment fraud, raising money from hundreds of investors nationwide, many of whom were seniors, promising guaranteed high returns via real estate investments. Let me just skip to the back. Okay, the worst one of all, the very worst, the most important financial disaster of recent times has been the U.S. subprime mortgage crisis, which led to an international banking financial crisis and worldwide recession that began in 2008. According to a 2008 obituary as published in the Times newspaper of London, the Jew Roland Arnold was the pioneer of subprime mortgages in the U.S., the collapse of which industry led to the present credit squeeze in the West and huge banking uncertainty. Arnold's business was increasingly accused of operating boiler rooms of agents who persuaded borrowers to take out loans that they could ill afford, with fees buried in the small print and interest rates higher than promised. The number of borrowers' complaints mounted. And in 2006, no fewer than 49 state attorney generals launched class action suits, charging the company with using bait and switch schemes to cheat borrowers into taking out costlier loans than they seemed. Arnold's business, AmeriQuest, agreed to pay $325 million to settle the accusations of predatory lending while admitting no wrongdoing. He probably made much more than he had to pay. It is just amazing what these people do. Absolutely amazing. All right, we're at the top of the hour. Stay with us. We'll be back in a couple of minutes with our guest, our wonderful guest, Wayne from Canada.